What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. It is Monday, September 26th, and I hope wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're having a fantastic day. I hope you had a great weekend. I sure did, and if I look a little bit sunburned, it's because I am. I spent the weekend out with some really cool folks, including Austin Alexander. You guys know him. He's a world-famous YouTuber. I'm going to be doing some stuff with him coming up soon, working on some really big projects, and it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to share more about that with you. But basically, long story short, on October 29th, he's having his big inaugural Battle Bunker competition at the new location. I'm going to be helping out with that. So I look forward to bringing you more content, videos, maybe Instagram stories from the scene live on location. So check all that out. If it's possible, we'll do some kind of vlogability, the ability to vlog, whatever it is. I'll try. I'll see what I can do. No guarantees, but I was totally inspired this weekend by some cool athletes out there that he had coming out and some cool people that he's working with. Eviana, Harry Lime Pie, everybody listening on the podcast, everybody out there, great to see you. Check into the comments. Let me know that you're out there because, boy, do I have a Scuttlebutt Show for you. We have it all today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, and we do have some of the ugly. We really do. There is some breaking news involving a Navy recruiter that we're going to talk about. I don't know if I'm going to have you crying like last week, but I've got some feel-good stuff for you coming in the clutch at the end of today's episode. We're going to be reacting to some videos, including something out of the Space Force. And if you guys didn't see, the Island Boys dropped a little Space Force slander that I posted up on my comments, on my stories and my TikTok. Go check that out. I did that for you guys, and I feel indifferent about it at this point. I guess when you do business with the Island Boys, you got to be prepared for anything, I suppose. So speaking of prepared for anything, let's jump into the first story of today's show, which is an update on last week. Two people have been arrested in the killing of a Fort Bragg paratrooper last week who was shot outside of his residence. We talked about this last week. There is an update. It was Sergeant Bobo, who was 22, who was shot to death in front of his home and his vehicle stolen, I believe, was the reporting on that last week. Turns out that there's a homicide investigation going into that killing, as of course there should be, and two arrests were made. Timothy Nava, 18 years old, and Nizer Bennett, 19 years old, were charged with first-degree murder, implying that, of course, this was a premeditated, planned attack. He was targeted, and we don't know the reason why yet. So his vehicle was taken but found in Durham, where Nava and Bennett were later arrested on Monday and subsequently Wednesday, respectively, by police and U.S. Marshals. They're being held without bond in the Cumberland County Detention Center. A spokesperson for the 82nd Airborne, Lieutenant Colonel Brett Lee, said earlier this month, Bobo was an automated logistical specialist assigned to the division's 407th Brigade. He joined the Army in 2018 and is survived by his wife, daughter, and parents. Unfortunately, whatever happened, whatever he was caught up in, however he was affiliated with these individuals, they targeted him and they killed him and they took his car. Nothing good there. Nothing good about that. Nothing good there, but that's just another Fort Bragg death, which is, we were just covering the number of deaths there. Non-combat deaths in the last couple of years at Fort Bragg. Add that one to the list. It just keeps going and going, it feels like, and we have more to talk about today. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comments down below. That is scary and very sad stuff. Oh man, what a bummer. What a terrible, no good, downright bummer. Harry Lime Pie in the comments says, Fast Movers Monday, because I'm wearing my Fast Movers shirt. By the way, guys, any shirt you ever see me wearing on this show is available for purchase at scuttlebuttshow.com. Only the highest quality stuff designed by me for you. You can go check that out. I'm making this stuff, and I hope that you like it. I make it because I like it, and if you guys like it, you think it looks good, consider going over to scuttlebuttshow.com and picking up yours today. Looks like, I got some bad news for you guys. I did see. Now, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know. Sometimes I think I know something, and then something happens, and it shakes my feelings of confidence. Over the weekend, I saw Stu Scheller posting on social media in support of a veteran running for Congress whose claims of valor have been under scrutiny, potentially stolen valor. We were very critical of him last week on the Scuttlebutt Show, but then I saw Stu throwing out some support. I saw Stu throwing out some support, and I thought, should we take another look at this? But the more that I look at it, the worse it seems to get, to be completely honest. Political candidate accused of stolen valor, we talked about this last week, actually says, well, the reason you can't find any of his records are because they're classified. A big oof there. Do you guys know who Don Shipley is? Don Shipley, his YouTube channel is called Former Buds 131, and he is a retired Navy SEAL senior chief who has dedicated his life to outing stolen valor Navy SEALs. And whenever he does, you know what they say? They say, the reason you can't find any record of me is because my records are classified. I'm so secret that my records are classified. And you know what I say when I see these stolen valor folks potentially, but I'm just going to go with allegedly at this point, is that if you just claimed your actual service, your real service, you would be doing great. That's enough. Your regular service is heroic enough. Bravo Zulu. Thank you for your service. TYFS. TYFYS. TIFIS. TIFIS. You don't have to go and embellish it, because then you lose everything. When you lie, there's no honor in that. When you lie about things saying you did this and did that and you didn't do it, you straight up never happened. It's not like two people were there and one guy says this and one guy says that, and it just never even happened at all, and you're just saying it did. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. So this Air Force veteran, of course, is Majewski. We talked about Majewski last week. An Air Force veteran running for a congressional seat in Ohio has said that he served in combat in Afghanistan, spending lots of time there at bases that you can't know about. He says, I was in multiple bases in Afghanistan, and the time frame is clear, in 2002. We flew in and out of the area of responsibility multiple times. It's almost impossible for me to tell you where I was on what day. That's why my orders are listed as a classified location. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, this has been my experience. I've done 3 deployments, boots on ground. My experience was, you get orders to a country arriving around the time of and departing around the time of. When you go other places within that country, you don't get new orders. You don't get a new set of orders that say anything. It doesn't say classified. It doesn't say anything. You just are in the country. You're in the general country. You need to get a visa. Like, you're going to these other countries, you're getting a visa, you're getting your government passport and all this stuff, and you're flying into Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever, and they're checking your customs. You land there and they check your customs. I mean, maybe not if you were in the invasion. He does say he was part of the invasion in early spring 2002. That was the invasion of Afghanistan. But still, you wouldn't get, during the invasion of Afghanistan, you wouldn't get orders at all. You wouldn't get orders for every op. Like, hey, you're flying into classified location A, you're moving to classified location B. And the problem is, like, yeah, maybe he's saying it in layman's terms, and if he had all day to explain it, it might make sense. But he has not provided anything, in spite of all this criticism, that can substantiate it. According to the reporting on this, it says here that the candidate posted service documents on social media, but none show any deployments to Afghanistan. He claimed to have been deployed to South Korea. His record does show a temporary duty travel to the country, but not a deployment. So a TDY, that's normal, because he spent a lot of time in Okinawa, or in Japan, I mean. And he has not, he hasn't shown another person who can verify that he was there doing what he says. He doesn't have any photos. He doesn't have anything. And he says that the problem is, of course, that they are classified, but he talks about them on the campaign. On the campaign, he talks about how he's a combat veteran, done all this stuff. But when you ask him to verify, now it's classified. And part of the problem is he has no Afghanistan campaign medal. But he does have a record of being deployed to Qatar and stationed in Japan and all that stuff, forward deployed to Japan, as they say. And all that stuff would be fine. All that stuff would be great. The article here says he hasn't shown any evidence or corroboration of these missions, nor brought in any colleague or commander who could confirm about his apparently secret deployments. And he said his records from his personal file that confirm his claim have been classified. I mean, this is textbook cover-up stuff. That's a textbook cover-up stuff. What could it be? I mean, what else could it be? If it was legit, if it was super legit, he would be able to easily debunk it. I mean, I could pull up my phone right now and show you pictures of me on every deployment, pretty much. I don't know if I have pictures of my Westpacs because I don't have any photos from back then, but I have my Blue Jacket awards. I have my, what was the other thing I had? Pictures of me on the ship, like on Facebook, actually, that I do have. So anyway, and then I have tons of shipmates and battle buddies. I have all these shipmates and battle buddies that I could call anytime and be like, hey, do you remember out there? And they'd be like, yeah, totally. Because we were there. So, you know, all of that is very sus. There is almost nothing. There's almost nothing that is classified that you cannot even say where you were or who you were there with. I can't think of anything. I know lots of people were part of Operation Anaconda. They talk about it all the time. There are books about it. If he was flying passenger planes into Afghanistan to drop off packs, you can talk about that. I mean, that's fine. If that's what you did, then that's great. I would never in a million years criticize that. But then he says, only because he's a veteran running for Congress, that he's this superstar combat hero. And nobody can seem to verify it, and he doesn't seem to have any evidence. And that's the problem, I guess. That's the thing the part you would take exception to. Majewski, you could resolve all this just by dropping some fat evidence and then shutting everybody up. Wouldn't that be fantastic? That would be totally rock and roll, bro. Do it. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Let me know if you ever served with Majewski, if you know about this guy. Otherwise, can you think of another reason why somebody would not be able to provide one single substantiating detail to these claims when you're being thrown, you know, called out in public like that? It's very strange. Harry Lime Pie, what is up? Frank in the chat. Frank Monteau, founder of Crayons Ready to Eat. Shout out to him in the chat. If you guys are looking to represent the Marine Corps, go check out Crayons Ready to Eat and show them that you are a true crayon eater. AN, thank you for the super chat. Harry Lion Pie, thank you for the super chat. That means a lot. Harry Lion Pie says, super secret Navy SEAL Ranger Delta IV is working only for the president. Yep. Sam says, busy with the academy. That's great. That's great. Keep up the great work. Good job in the academy. Kitty says, it's almost like most politicians don't know people can just Google their records. Yeah. Don Shipley needs to get on this guy. That's a great point, Sam. That would be awesome. Maybe we can write Don Shipley and see if he can do a little call out, do a little fact check on this guy. There is somebody out there whose record is not under dispute. And I bet he wishes it was, because this story is breaking as of last week. Navy commander indicted over child inappropriate videos. I feel like, stop me if I've told you this one already, because there are so many of these, I don't even know if we've covered this one before, but a Florida-based Navy commander was indicted last Tuesday on charge that he distributed videos. Did we do this one last week? Commander Gregory McLean, 38 years old, has been detained pending trial. But if so, then I've got some more details here. There are so many stories like this, I can't even keep them straight. This guy was the executive officer of the Littoral Combat Ship Minneapolis-St. Paul until November before the ship was commissioned. McLean's civilian attorney said that he has entered a plea of not guilty and wants everyone to remember that you're innocent until proven guilty. Sure, innocent until proven guilty. The surface warfare officer faces at least 5 years in prison and up to 20 years for each of the three counts he is charged with. Jeez, that's a lot. Probably if he's guilty, you would want to think that they would get a harsh sentence. He was arrested last Monday. And even if we did have this story last week, I know that this is an update here. His indictment says that allegedly Commander McLean had the username, the computer username, get this, TwistedDesire3210. And if that wasn't enough, his burner account, not to be confused, was TwistedDesire3213. I don't know the meaning of those numbers, but I know that it is definitely creepy AF that his username were Twisted Desires. I mean, that's a guilty username. That's Not what you want to be. It says he distributed media of a minor engaging in inappropriate conduct in November 2020, and that he possessed material like that until November 2021. So less than a year ago. Wow, wow, wow. This was your executive officer out there on the LCS. This was your Navy commander. This was the guy telling you to sweep up the P-ways and keep everything clean and do your maintenance and all that. Busting you. People were going up to XOI, and they were standing in front of the man, and he was recommending them for captain's mast and punishment under the UCMJ. If we've had a story like this once, we've had it 1,000 times. This is why nobody trusts the leadership. And this is why everyone is losing faith in their higher ups, because this stuff just keeps happening. We're getting less and less stories of E3s doing stuff. I mean, we super rarely nowadays ever have a story like Private First Class does this, unless it's like a Army battle buddy on battle buddy crime, a green on green. We rarely ever have a story about Private this. It's always Commander this, Admiral that, Captain this, Marine Corps, Army captains, you know, Sergeant Majors, Master Chiefs. It seems like it's really prevalent among the senior leadership as these major crimes keep, and they get sergeants too, and petty officer first class and stuff like that. But I guess my only real note, the thing that I'm noticing here, is it's really infrequently the Lance Cooleys and the privates getting into a lot of this weird stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's something that happens to you after your first enlistment. You go a little nutso and you start getting into some of the wrong stuff. Or maybe you think you just have all the power and nothing bad could ever happen to you. I'm not sure. Let me know what you guys think about it in the comments down below. But it's sad now that I stared at this story for a while earlier thinking, have we done this one? Have we talked about McLean? I was going to say, looks like it's McDirty, actually. And I was like, that's giving me deja vu. But I guess I just have deja vu from covering so many stories of these weird kitty diddler commanders. It's gross. We've had Army chaplains. We've had Navy commanders. We've had Navy master chiefs. We've had sergeant majors. We've had it all. We've had it all. Recruiters, Air Force colonels. It gives me the willies thinking about it. It really does. Like the willies. I don't say that lightly. I would never just say I have the willies. I take that super seriously. Eviana said she was wearing the Warrior shirt. Thank you, Eviana. I really appreciate that. If you're rocking that Scuttlebutt Show merch, then rock it proud. Rock it loud and proud. That brings me great joy to see that out there. I love it. I love when I hear a little notification go off from Shopify that somebody bought a Scuttlebutt Show merch thing, because, you know, I think this stuff's cool. And it gives me a lot of joy when I think when somebody else lets me know they think it's cool too. This next story is the best. I'm going to be honest, zero ill will for this sailor right here. Sailor busted. For using a duffel bag dummy passenger in the carpool lane. So I guess that makes him the Scuttlebutt Show clown of the day. Although, to me personally, I have no beef with this. This is just dope. They took some guacamoles, even went as far as to grab a cover from their ship, and made what appears to be a sleeping passenger so they can use the high occupancy vehicle lane. Oh, can't hate on that. Life in the Navy and the military in general is anchored by the principles of adapting and overcoming, Military Times says. Day-to-day life in uniform requires improvisational fixes to keep the mission moving, superiors happy, and the Defense Department Goliath chugging along. Yep. So what's a sailor to do up in Washington State when plagued by incessantly soul-crushing traffic north of Seattle, and you're up there on I-5, that interstate that runs north to south, south to north down the West Coast? You ensure that you qualify for the carpool lane by constructing a FAW passenger out of a duffel bag, blankets, a USS Momsen ball cap, and splashes of a Navy working uniform Type 3, affectionately known as the guacamoles. And that works until gosh dang Trooper Rick Johnson over here on Twitter. This HOV violator was contacted by a WA State Patrol motorcycle trooper southbound I-5 near the Kling, Snohomish County line. What? This ended up being constructed with a duffel bag and a lot of blankets, and apparently no excuse. Hashtag duffels do not count. Dude's doing his thing. The dude is doing his thing. Relax, Washington State Trooper Rick Johnson, you narc. The law enforcement officer did not respond to follow-up questions about the incident, but it appears to have taken place south of Everett, where the guided missile destroyer Momsom is based. So it says here, this HOV violator was contacted by a motorcycle, ended up being struck with duffels. The identity of the clever sailor has not been disclosed, but it appears from a photo kind of showing his rank that he's a third-class petty officer. For now, unless he gets busted, double jeopardied by the military, but I hope not. They should give him a promotion. Here's the catch, though. Here's the big thing. This kid is going to be paying, it's like an engagement ring here. You got to pay your 3 month salary. In Washington, a first violation of the HOV lane is a $186 fine. But if a dollar dummy is placed in the car, they tack on $200 more. So this kid's looking at potentially a $386 fine. A $386 fine for saving that time. Is that time for commuting worth it to you? Do you feel like it is valuable enough to be worth $300? How many trips to and from work are worth $386 to you to beat traffic? You let me know that in the comments section down below. And bravo Zulu to this sailor for wanting to get to work on time, early even, and do his thing up in Washington. Bravo Zulu, shipmate. Keep up the good work. I got to give it to him. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. The fine is more criminal than what the sailor did, Kitty says. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. If you aren't cheating, you aren't trying, Sam says. I agree. Harry says, next time, take the bus. Yeah, those buses. Are buses safe to take nowadays? Are they like trains? Are you likely to encounter crime on a bus? The wheels on the bus go round and round, and so do the criminals. They go round and round. Round and round. It's a weird day. Weird day on the Scuttlebutt Show, where I have to, we have to talk about the Navy. We have to talk about the Navy a lot today. I've got a lot of, like, we might get out of here early again. I've been trending early on the show, which I hope that you guys don't mind too much. Maybe you appreciate it. Maybe you want to get out of here 15, 20 minutes, you know, before the top of the hour when we traditionally wrap up the show. Maybe not. Maybe you guys like to stick around. But what I will say is today I have to throw you guys for a loop with this next story. Something we do not see out of the Navy too often, but we do have it today. We do have something pretty serious coming out of the Navy. I don't like this one bit. We got a video to watch. Navy senior chief recruiter kills wife, dies in shootout, police say. Holy crap. A Houston-based Navy senior chief recruiter fatally shot his wife and injured a Naval Criminal Investigative Service agent Thursday, who hopefully makes it and recovers, before being killed by sheriff's deputies a few hours later. NCIS agents were interviewing the wife, Takara Hightower, at an Atascocita, Texas residence at 1:30 p.m., the middle of the afternoon on Thursday, for a domestic violence investigation. The precise sequence of events remains unclear. Hightower's husband, Navy career counselor, senior chief Greg Hightower, 37, arrived in open fire, fatally shooting the woman and injuring one of the NCIS agents. The wife, the woman, was holding an infant during the incident. Thank God the infant is okay. A second NCIS agent returned fire at Hightower, who managed to flee. Ooh, this is giving me the heebie-jeebies here. This is not good. 3 hours later, Hightower was shot and killed after he fired at deputies who approached him near a family member's apartment on the northwest side of Houston. An infant and toddler from their home have been rehomed with family members as of right now. Apparently, this guy was known to police, him and his wife both. Domestic prevention calls for service for both parties claiming injury to each other have happened before. So they're both, you know, a very contentious relationship, a lot of drama, a lot of arguing, a lot of violence potentially between them. So this is a boiling, you know, the pot finally boiled over, so to speak. Family members did not provide any more information or comments. The injured NCIS agent was taken to the hospital and is in stable condition. So we have a video here. This guy, this recruiter, this Navy career counselor, who I have some career advice for you. Don't get involved in domestic violence. Separate yourself from the situation. If you feel like you're in danger or you feel like you might cause harm to somebody else, just separate yourself from the situation. He spent most of his 19-year career in recruiting, which is fine. The military needs recruiters, of course, but I don't know about those. They have full-time recruiters, like permanent recruiting duty service members, so that might be what he was doing. But we have a video here. What you're about to see, viewer be warned, viewer caution, this is the suspect coming out and shooting at an NCIS agent here.
New surveillance video shows a Navy recruiter shooting an NCIS agent moments after authorities say the man shot and killed his wife. We were live on the air as this story was breaking around this time last night in Humboldt.
ABC 13's Courtney Carpenter is there live now after speaking with somebody who knew the suspect well. Courtney, this is such a tragic story.
Eric and Erica, it really is. And law enforcement sources have identified the suspect as Greg Hightower. Earlier this afternoon, I spoke on the phone to someone who says he knows Greg well, met him through the Navy, that Greg was even mentoring him for the past few years. He says he's shocked. He never expected anything like this to happen.
The surveillance video we are about to show you may be tough for some to watch.
Man, is this NCIS agent armed? That's point blank. That's within arm's length. Maybe he could have charged this guy and tried to take him on, but instead of running away from 3 feet away and getting fired upon, are these guys armed when they roll out? Oh my God.
In this video, you see the man who law enforcement sources say is Navy recruiter Greg Hightower firing several shots. You see the Naval Criminal Investigative Service agent run, trying to get away. Then the suspect fires several more shots at him. Authorities say the NCIS agent was at the Hightower home to investigate allegations of domestic abuse. Before the suspect shot the agent, authorities say he shot and killed his 34-year-old wife, who was holding one of their children.
This child's an orphan now that's going to be without mom and dad.
Hightower was shot and killed after authorities say he shot at Precinct 4 deputies outside of his mom's apartment in Northwest Harris County.
I hear the bullet.
This woman says she's new to this humble neighborhood and didn't know the couple well, but took care of their child until family arrived after the injured NCIS agent ran to her house after the shooting.
I was with the little kid when all the craziness.
Do you know how old he is?
This afternoon, we spoke to a man who says he's been mentored by Hightower for the past 4 years. He confirms this is a photo of Hightower pictured in a newspaper article that ran a week ago today about him buying a motel to renovate in his Illinois hometown. He says what happened left him shocked and confused.
Now, according to the sheriff's office, there's been two calls for service out here to this home. One domestic violence call back in July where no charges ended up being filed. And then another just 2 days before this deadly shooting happened where the wife called in to ask how to file a restraining order.
That's sad. You hear that one way too often. It's like by the time the restraining order comes into effect or the restraining order conversation happens, it's too late. The process is too slow. People end up in too much danger. These domestic violence situations are terrifying. Can you imagine? That's a senior. That's a Navy senior chief. That's a guy who made chief and got promoted again in the Navy. And he was contacted about domestic violence before. Did the Navy do anything? Did the Navy do anything when this guy was contacted? Like, because in my mind, I'm thinking back to domestic violence situations. Typically, the command would get involved. Like, I remember the command getting involved in domestic. That's something you would report up to the chain. The police should, you know, NCIS was involved. How is it possible that this guy was known having domestic violence issues and more wasn't done? That's crazy to me. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments down below. Thank God that NCIS agent is in okay condition, stable condition. Wow. Point blank, 10 rounds. I didn't count them, but it seemed like 10 rounds fired at him. That is insane. That's scary stuff. That is no joking around. Wow, wow, wow. Huh. Give me more of the heebie-jeebies. That's a shocking video to watch. That is scary. Kitty says restraining orders are a joke. I had one on a dude in Camp Pendleton, and he violated it so many times, and they did nothing about it. Oh, my God. That's horrible. That's horrible. And we've heard other stuff like that, too. I've covered other stuff like that on this show. Last week, I was talking about a sailor at HSC 23, I believe, the command that I'm a plank owner there. And I believe I remember a story about a female sailor who was complaining that there was a one of her shipmates there stalking her and tried to get a restraining order, but he waited for her in the parking lot of squadron. When she got out, he opened fire on her and shot her in the chest. Wow, wow, wow. Alan, what's up? Good evening. Got my hoodie looking good while advertising. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. I love to hear that. I love that. Thank you so much. Rocking and rolling. I love that. He was literally thrown in the brig at one point, and the MP let him use his personal phone to call me. Jesus. What? So Kitty in the comments says that she had a restraining order on a guy in Camp Pendleton. He ended up in the brig, and the MPs let him use his phone to call her. What? That is, I am so sorry to hear that. And I know that stuff like that happens. And we cover on this show. And people will say, and there are people out there who will say, no, it didn't. Yeah, right. There are people out there like that. How many times does it need to go too far or it's too late or anything before people wake up and take anything seriously? Oh my God. I took screenshots because they video called me as evidence to his command. Wow. That is unreal. I am so sorry to hear that. That is unbelievable. I'm so grossed out by that. That is disgusting. Okay. Well, I'm an ally on that kind of stuff. I do not like that. I don't, I would never, you know, I mean, what can you do? I was talking to my wife about this last night. Feels so helpless, right? They didn't take it seriously until he broke into my place and tried to kill me. What? That's very traumatic. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe that'll be something that somebody needs to hear, and they will, you know, hear that and take that, something like that, more seriously when they encounter it. I was talking to my wife last night, and I said, you know, it's one of those things, like, I get so mad because it's so predictable and avoidable, and we just don't do anything. People just don't do anything until it's too late. And we just watch so much stuff like that happen. It's heartbreaking, totally heartbreaking. And what can be done? You know, what can you do? I'm going to break there. Break. Let's break off from that horrible and sad story. And which it really is, and I'm with you. I stand with victims of violence, any kind. A very dear friend of mine was killed in 2017, taken from his family, you know, in a senseless act of violence. And I hate that. And I hate that. I'm very active against that kind of thing. So I'm very sorry to hear that. Thank you for sharing. Break. Let's switch it up a little bit and bring it back around to something hopefully positive. Hopefully we'll bring it back around to something positive now that we had a serious conversation about domestic violence. And what we can do is we can bring some joy back a little bit, bring a little bit of joy back. Something good in the world is happening, something positive. And it's this video here. Retiring U.S. Navy Master Chief LaTanya Luter was officially relieved of her duties by her son, James, a Navy sonar technician, after 30 years of service, and it was captured on video. Let's check this out. Navy Master Chief on the left, seaman, child, son on the right, relieving her of duty at her retirement. Wow. That's cool. That's sweet. Aw. That is sweet. Navy Master Chief's son relieved her of duties after 30 years of service. You hear about, you know, mother, daughter, mother, son, father, daughter moments in the military, which is always really cool. We had one where a paratrooper jumped his last jump with his son who was on his first jump. And those things are always, always really cool. Glad to see it here. Good for them. Good for that family. Very amazing. Imagine growing up in a house where your mom is in the Navy, or dad's in the military, whatever the branch is, and you are just a military brat, and then you join and you go to boot camp and you're like, God damn, my mom was a Master Chief? You start learning about that stuff. You start seeing chiefs and like how people respect chiefs, and then chiefs are in charge of your, you know, division, and then you realize that your mom is the chief in charge of all chiefs, the Master Chief. That's got to be cool as a child. That's got to be a cool moment where your child realizes, you know, what you've done, what your service was like. Then they have to make it up through the ranks, and they're like, damn, it's hard enough to make E4. My mom made E9. And by the way, can we just talk about how the Master Chief here, the mom, looks like about 19 years old herself from this angle? Looks fit, looks young, 30 years of service? Wears it well. So bravo, Zulu, to Master Chief LaTanya Luter and her son, Seaman Luter, which is not the most fortunate name. And I hope fair winds and following seas to you both. Enjoy your career and your retirement. That is awesome. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Seaman Luter, not the best name. The Navy. That's it. That's what we get. I mean, we call ourselves Seaman. We call ourselves Seaman, and you end up, I mean, with the wrong last name. That's it. It's a rough day in boot camp. AN says, nary a dry eye in the house. Yes, that is an awesome moment, Sam says. Sam says, I had my father pin my bars on me, which I thought was really cool, and that's awesome. That is awesome. Wow, very cool. Harry says, we need a good hometown hero story. I got two more things for you guys that are hopefully going to be good. I know one is, and one I have not seen yet. We're going in cold. What a proud and beautiful moment for them, Kitty says. The next one, because Space Force announced their, and we're going to get out of here definitely early. You guys, I wanted to prepare you for an early discharge this afternoon. The Space Force announced their official song last week. But can we just make this their official song? Watch Space Force's top enlisted sing Journeys, Don't Stop Believin'. We have a clip here, just a clip, not the whole song. But this, folks, is your Space Force band. Very cool. Very cool. Space Force band. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing in the Space Force getting pants that fit. Don't stop believing in the Space Force taking to the skies and being the guardians that we need them to be. How about that? Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Let me know what you guys think in the comments about the Space Force band and what song, if you could request one song from the Space Force band, what would it be? What would your request be? Don't Stop Believin' is pretty good. I think Journey has better songs. I mean, how about Faithfully, Any Way You Want It? Can we get some other Journey songs besides Don't Stop Believin'? I mean, nothing wrong with Don't Stop Believin', but Journey has other fantastic songs. And I'd like to see them get more karaoke time. I'd like to see the Space Force go Any Way You Want It. Any way you want it. That's the way you need it. Any way you want it. That would be pretty cool. Rocket Man. Eviana, yes, sing it, yes. Where's the gong, Harry says. Oh, no. Oh, no. So, last thing that I have for you guys today, and it's about the Space Force, too. Who in the world do you think is more influential today? And I don't mean based on their discoveries or their research or anything. I mean, Who is more prolific in the physics world than Neil deGrasse Tyson? Who? Name someone. Name a bigger voice in physics, quantum physics, astrophysics, physics, than Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'll wait. I won't wait long. We're going to keep moving on. But the man himself, Neil deGrasse Tyson, has reacted to the Space Force official song. And we're going to react. Let's just get into it. We're going to react to Neil deGrasse Tyson reacting to the Space Force official song. Are you guys ready for this? Let's see what the man himself, the most influential name in physics, thinks of the Space Force's official song.
So I have to get your reaction to the U.S. Space Force's original song that was released this week. I let's play a snippet and let's get your thoughts.
Let's go. Actually, no, that's the first I've heard it. But it sounds very 1950s, you know, kind of like what you'd sing when the channels went off the air at midnight. but I kind of like it too.
And I you know, I guess folks might be in this age of trolling and so on social media. Folks might be tempted to take a shot at it, but I think it sounds very patriotic. And you know, there are some really great people who work over at the Space Force, right? So why not have a fight song? Well, they have a football team. That's the question that I have.
Do they?
And what's funny or curious is that the other branches of the armed forces, the songs tend to be songs that you would march to. You know, you feel right. That urge to get up and march. But Space Force, you want to be able to feel like you want to launch something. And I didn't feel launchy with those lyrics or with the rhythms. But maybe if you watch a rocket launch while you hear it, that'll reset how we think about the mood we should attain as we listen.
That's a good point, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Why didn't the Space Force think of that? Why was this not played over a montage of rockets launching? Oh my God, he is the man, is he not? Neil deGrasse Tyson really is the man.
Absolutely. And we're playing the music right now as you're speaking, Neil. And what you're saying sounds so much better with that music playing behind you. So there must be something to it.
I told you.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, thanks so much. Thanks for indulging.
Yeah, thank you very much. So it's true. He's got a great point. That song does sound better as like background to something else. Last week I heard it and I kind of poked fun at it. I kind of laughed at the Space Force song. But hearing it now, I laughed again. But hearing it in the background, it does have it has good vibes for the background to something epic happening. Like the music, the melody, the instrumentals, they could accompany a montage. Does it stand alone very strongly? I don't personally think so. But you got to combine the visuals with the audio. Will Space Force recruits feel good about that song, marching and singing it? I don't know. You guys let me know in the comments. I'm still out. If I'm the jury, I am out for lunch, and we're probably going to be hung. We're a hung jury, folks. I cannot declare that the Space Force song is good yet, but I've changed my opinion since yesterday after listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Degrassi is not just a high school in Canada anymore, folks, right? Wasn't Degrassi High Canadian? Degrassi is not just a high school in Canada anymore. It's a genius mathematician, physics master, quantum physics, theoretical physicist, all that stuff. He's the number one Degrassi in my book. All right, I'm babbling. AN says that man can gobble a ghost pepper sauce without a tear. That's incredible. Possible that it's his ringtone, Sam says. That's amazing. Sheldon Copper. I don't know who that is, Harry. I'm going to have to check that out. Sheldon Copper. I don't know who that is. Sam says Neil deGrasse Tyson's books are great. I agree. Kitty says Bill Nye, the science guy. And I didn't even think of that, but that's a great point. Bill Nye has got some reach. Bill Nye has got some outreach. He's helping kids make their first science fair volcano and all that stuff, explaining why helium balloons float and the such. So that's going to wrap it up, guys, at 15:45 on Monday, September 26th. I have to let you guys know, Wednesday will be there will be no Scuttlebutt Show on Wednesday. I will be out of the office, but I'll be working on stuff for the Scuttlebutt Show. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new, regularly scheduled Scuttlebutt Show. That's Tuesday, September 27th. Can you guys believe September is already basically over? I find that hard to believe. But we are off to a really great start for October. We're heading into October this week. It's going to be fantastic. It's Halloween. I am looking forward. I'm a huge horror movie fan. My favorite slasher movie of all time, The Terrifier, has its sequel coming out, Terrifier 2, next week on October 6th. I am over the moon about it. The finale of the new Halloween trilogy comes out. I am just totally stoked. I love horror movies. I love Halloween. If you guys have been around and you remember last year's Halloween episode, we're doing something again this year. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry one bit. We're doing something. I love Halloween. I love October. I love fall, autumn time frame. It's just going to be the best. Big, big stuff going on in October. I promise you guys that. So with all that being said, folks, thank you very much for joining me today. I hope you have a great Monday evening. I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on the socials. Reach out to me on the Gmail, The Scuttlebutt Show. I look forward to talking to you all very soon. And for now, folks, that's The Scuttlebutt.